Italian Wine Podcast. Cin Cin with Italian Wine People.
This podcast is brought to you by Native Grape Odyssey. Native Grape Odyssey is an educational project financed by the European Union to promote European wine in Canada, Japan, and Russia. Enjoy. It's from Europe.
Hello, this is the Italian Wine Podcast with me, Monty Walden. My guest today is Francesco Ripaccioli from the Canalicchio di Sopra Winery in Montalcino. Welcome.
My pleasure to be here today.
Okay, so just for everybody's clear where we are, Montalcino is a very big zone. It's a single comune or township. And Francesco's family winery, Canalicchio, is in the northern part of Montalcino. The neighbouring town is Buonconvento. And your vineyards in the Canalicchio area, for me, is one of the best micro terroirs in Montalcino, and hopefully we can drill down with Francesco to find out what makes this particular zone very special and what makes the Brunello wines and the Rossi di Montalcino as well, the wines from this area, what makes them very, very distinct in the Brunello firmament. So Francesco, it's really nice to see you here today on the podcast. So if you give us a little bit of family history first, the Ripaccioli family, when they arrived in Montalcino, and how they got hold of the estate, and then we can talk a little bit about the terroir.
Sure, but I think that to talk about the family history, we have to talk about the Pacenti family, because my grandfather was the Pacenti, so the second generation is the Ripaccioli. So the original founder was Primo Pacenti, was a big character in Montalcino. If you ask to the old generation, he was really like a character, everybody used to know him. And he was one of the first pioneers of Brunello after the Second World War, and he was one of the founders of the Consorzio del Vino Brunello di Montalcino. So we can say that the history of my family is Canalicchio di Sopra is one of the historical brand and one historical producer. Since then the Brunello start to become a wine for the market. So I like to say the second beginning for Brunello di Montalcino, the beginning from the farmers.
Okay, so the Brunello DOC was awarded in 1966?
Yes.
And then the DOCG was awarded in 1980?
85, yeah.
Yeah, so the 1960s, what Francesco is saying, that was kind of really when the modern era of Brunello began, and your family has been a part of that.
Yeah, we've been since the beginning, even if I always like to remember that there is like a family that he invented with this wine. I use this word because there is a motive, but the Biondi Santi family made the great revolution to make this pure wine, to understand the great value of the terroir in Montalcino 60, 70 years before than my family. So
in the late 19th century.
Yes.
Okay, so Canalicchio di Sopra. So what is a Canalicchio, and what does di Sopra mean?
So Canalicchio, it's like a little channel. So
channel.
It's a sweet way to call a channel. And di Sopra means above, up. So it's the position on the hill regarded to another Canalicchio, which is di Sotto, which is a bit 50 meters under our property.
Okay, so there are two Canalicchio wineries, or name wineries with the name Canalicchio in Montalcino, as he's saying. And so Canalicchio di Sopra, which is Canalicchio upper,
yeah,
and Canalicchio di Sotto lower.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, correct.
So, I mean, where are so north of Montalcino? I mean, are we underneath the hill that the town is on, or are we a few miles away from it? How exactly does it work, the Canalicchio area?
So the Canalicchio, I like to imagine the Montalcino hill like a cake, where on top of the cake you have the village, and you have all the vineyards around the main hill of Montalcino. We can say, except for another hill, which is the Montosoli hill, which is a separate hill than the main hill of Montalcino.
So that's a hill under the hill of Montalcino,
just to try
and make things more complicated.
Yeah. So the Canalicchio is the natural part of the in the northeast side of the Montalcino hill. So it's a zone that stay, we can say, from the top of the hill 500 meters to 300 meters, and it's where you have the production of and the vines since the 60s. We have been one of the first to make wine in this north side hill close to the village of Montalcino. So this is why we are using like tradition in Tuscan, the brand, the name of the subzone, like our brand since the beginning.
Okay, so it's an idea of subzones we'll probably come on to later on. The winery, as you're saying, is named after a named place. In Italian, is it called a toponimo?
Toponimo, yes.
So that's a name that you can find on older maps.
Sure.
So it's not like anybody's invented this name.
No, and it's the historical name, how they used to call this subzone of Montalcino.
So Canalicchio is what, was a channel for, was it a water drainage or?
Yeah. I mean, Montalcino is on top of the hill, and so for sure there is some water that fall down every.
And it was a way of channeling it in a way. I can't even speak English.
Channeling?
Yeah. So the water wouldn't flood. So canale, a channel was created so that it would.
It's canale.
And wouldn't damage.
It's a little canale.
Yeah. Wouldn't damage the fields. All right, so how many hectares have you got?
So now we have 20 hectares in total, which are divided in two different sub-zone of production. The first one is Canalicchio, it's where the estate was founded by my grandfather. And in 1985, my grandfather started to work together with my father. So my father's family used to have another estate in the Montosoli Hill. So we have another 6 hectares in Montosoli that we planted since 1960 to 2009 in something that we planted the last plant.
So basically you've got vineyards in two of the most prestigious areas of Montalcino, the Canalicchio area and Montosoli. Montosoli, as you're saying, so you've got the hill of Montalcino behind you, these drainage channels where the name of Canalicchio comes from, underneath the town or below the town, and then this other little bump in the landscape, which is the Montosoli. And if you drive into Montalcino from Buonconvento, if you're coming from the north, you will, on your right-hand side, as you start climbing up to Montalcino, you'll see Canalicchio on your right, and you'll see a little bump as well in the landscape, and that is the Montosoli
hill.
Okay, so you've got 20 hectares. In terms of wine styling, are we looking at a blockbuster Brunello from you, a massive new oak, or are we looking at something a little bit more subtle?
No, for sure. Canalicchio di Sopra is a producer famous to make very elegant wines. But at the same time, we are also famous to never stay in the big fight between modern and traditional producers. So we prefer to be classified like a classic producer. That for me has a meaning not only related to the, let's say, to the recipe to make wine, to the ingredients. So the use of the big barrels, I guess the barrique, this kind of practice. But for me, it's something much more clear and linked to the terroir, to the soil. So we like to make a wine that is really the expression of the place where we are. You say we are in the two of the most prestigious zone of Montalcino. I don't want to say the same. I want to say that we are really in two places which are clearly and easy to recognize when you drink this wine. If you work in purity on this zone, it's very clear to say this is coming from Canalicchio, this is coming from Montosoli.
Yeah, because this is the northern side of Montalcino, and it is cooler here. And you can really can pick that up in the wines of what he's saying. You know, I agree with what he's saying. And you just don't get these kind of heavy baked wines in where you are. You just get these sort of fresher, crimsony red, cherry red wines. So in terms of you talked about the winemaking, obviously there's the fermentation and then the aging. So you're saying also the choice of wood that you use, bearing in mind that Brunello has to spend 24 months in wood. What is your choice of wood? Are you looking at new barrels, young barrels? Or?
No, using only big barrels because we think that is the kind of size that is better for the place we are. We are in a zone that is extremely elegant. So it's also a zone that I like to say we do big wines but not heavy wines. So we don't have sometimes the ripeness to support the small food. This is why we prefer the big barrels.
So you don't mean in tonneau?
No, we use only 2,500 liters and 5,000 liters. Only Slavonian oak barrels and very neutral. So we select wood that is aged. It's seasoned at least 5 years before use it the wood to make the barrels. And it's the wood is not fundamental in my wines. It's a kneading for the wine. It's not an ingredient. That's the light difference between how we think about our wine. So I need and I try to find all the things that they are able to underline the characteristic of the place where I am, not to cover, even if sometimes a nice cover, but I'm not interested in these kind of wines.
So in terms of ageability, we're talking about a slightly cooler area north of the town. Does that affect the ageability of your Brunello?
I think it affects the ageability because this I don't want to talk about the temperature, because temperature, high temperature we have in the north, they have in the south, we have everywhere. Now that's something also related to the climate change. But one of the things that is very distinctive in the north side of Montalcino, there are two things. They're very connected. The first one is the big influence of the wind. We have this wind, we have two winds that are very similar, Tramontana and Grecale. They're really dry, especially in September. The grapes, to make more concentration but without losing the acidity, because what we have is a big excursion between day and night in temperature. This is something that helps during the day to ripe the grapes for the maturation, but keeps the acidity with this very strong difference in temperature in the night. So I think this is one of the characteristic. Instead of talking about the cold zone, it's very the biggest excursion between day and night.
So for you, that it is that day and night temperature differential that is a key factor in the style.
For me, yes. So it's something that I'm feeling that it maintain the freshness while you have the opulence, because we have to remember the wine from the north, they are based on mainly in a clay soil, and the clay soil gives sometimes the volume to the wines. No, they're very voluptuous wine. There are, how we say in Tuscany, there is ciccia, no? So like ciccia, a fat wine that is much more clear when it is the vineyard in Canalicchio Cru. So let's say in the Casaccia where we have the cellar today.
Okay, so the Casaccia is the place where the cellar is. I mean, in terms of markets, what is happening in the market with regard to Brunello? Obviously, its boom continues and the demand for Brunello seems to be growing rather than diminishing. How are you coping with that?
It's a good moment for Montalcino. It's a moment Montalcino has been always oriented in an international market. The United States has been always the first market for Brunello, and we are not an exception. We have started to work in the United States since in 1979, and we are still with the same importer. Proudly that we are 40 years this year with them. So it's a sign that Brunello is very well received around the world. But it's a good moment. There is no new challenge for new world, but some of the very historical markets, including UK. UK, it's something that it's old for Montalcino, but it's relatively young for in terms of numbers. The biggest growing in the historical markets in the last few years is in UK for us.
You said you had a little vineyard on Montozoli. Just tell us a bit about the vineyard. Does it have a name? And how big is Montozoli? Is it like 500 hectares of vines, or is it a small little hill?
No, Montozoli is a very small, and it's the only one hill where it's correct to talk like in Piedmont style, like a brick, no? Because if you look on the Montozoli, you really have the Sori, and you really have the place of the hill where there are no vineyards. The west side is covered by forest, because it's a steep hill, the Montozoli hill, while all the other vineyards around Montalcino are in a very sweet hill. Montalcino is on the top, but then you need to drive 20 kilometers to arrive on the flat. No, so everything is so sweet. Montozoli is a bit different. There we have 6 hectares, and we can say there are maybe on the hill of Montozoli is something like 60 hectares of vineyards. We have a good amount
in total. So you got 10% of that.
Yeah, having a small 6 hectares is small, but related to Montozoli is not so small. And Montozoli and Canalicchio, there are like 500 meters. So they are in front, no? The vineyards. But they are completely different, and they have two very distinctive soils. Since me and my brother, so the new generation, we entered in the state, we like to went back to the origin. So when my grandfather used to make a wine only from Canalicchio, and my father only from Montozoli. I'm still thinking that the blend is working very well. So my Brunello has been made for 50 years, from 1985, when my grandfather and my father started to work together, like blending the two zones of production. But in 2007, when me and my brother, we take over the state, we decide to work on a project of a single vineyard. And this project will see the light the first time next year with the 15 Brunello from Vigna Casaccia, 100% from Montozoli. And in 18, we will release a wine with the name of Montozoli in the label. So will be a very, return to the past, but also that's a look to the future for sure of Montalcino.
So you will be one of the few, very few wineries in Montalcino that will be able to put, or can quite legitimately put on your front label, the name of what the French would call a cru, a named site on your label. So the Canalicchio, your main wine, and then the Montozzoli from the smaller size vineyards that you have there. So that's very kind of Burgundian. I mean, your wine style is very Burgundian, but that's kind of quite a Burgundian way of going about things.
It's a compliment for me.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm a very big fan of this kind of wine, and I'm a very big fan of a very specific wine.
As in with a sense of place to it?
Sure. There's a sense of place. It's the most intimate concept of terroir. I think that there is a sense in the blend, so we will continue to make the blend, because the house style can also blend in different things. They are beautiful and they can work very well together. But a great territory like Montalcino, it needs some like a single vineyard production. It's not only me, there are a lot of producers that are doing this direction. A lot of these producers they made already in the past. I'm not the first, I will not be the last one to do this. This project, but it's something that I really trust for the future of my estate. So you already have some example in the past of our wine, specifically for the Reserva production that we decide to make. Like the last Reserva 13 is 100% from Montozzoli. The 10 was 100% from Canalicchio. So we have some wines, even if we didn't have the clear on the label, they are from them. That's part of the project, and now the project will see the light with something that will be very clear in terms of the consumer.
Before we go, just read a couple of my notes that I've actually found on your wines, and what I from my tasting of your wines over the years. And if you do get the chance, I hope you do, to taste the wines of Canalicchio di Sopra, you can say that I'm wrong or maybe right, but what I like about them is they have a very 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 distinct internal structure in terms of the way the fruit is expressed and how the fruit sits with the tannins and the shape of the tannins. You're going to give you a multiple choice question. They're either big round tannins or slim elegant tannins, and you know, obviously I'm leading you to the conclusion that it's the latter that you're going to find in these wines, and that really does show the influence of this northern Montalcino terroir, specifically where the Canalicchio, and if you try the Montozzoli, you'll have slightly different shaped tannins there as well, just because of that particular little bit of Montalcino's topography. Maybe look forward to, maybe in 10 years' time, you do a vertical tasting of your current site-specific wines, and the wines that are in course, that you're going to put onto the market in the future. And I kind of think this is, as you said, a way forward also for Montalcino, not to change every single wine into a terroir-specific wine, because that's not possible or desirable, but to have these little snapshots, if you like, of bits of terroir will help everybody understand Montalcino a lot better. There isn't one Brunello. There are dozens and dozens and dozens in terms of style.
Yeah, I think Montalcino is a very interesting place. And the difference between north to south, east to west, or the single subzone,
high to low.
Yeah, there are people that want to experience, they want to know. It's not a matter of what's the best or what's the worst or what's a classification. That's not the problem. It's to make a place much more interesting for the consumer and for the visitors, and to understand much better what are the characteristics of every single different zone of production in the territory, which is very big, we can say, even if the smart choice of the producer has been always to build and to plant vineyards in the best place. So I think it's a big challenge, and it's a natural movement for Montalcino, which has a long, long history, but also a recent history in terms of the market situation. So it's a new step. Will be very nice how it will be developed by the producer that has much more attention on this stem.
I agree. Thanks very much, Francesco Ripaccioli from the Canalicchio di Sopra Winery in Montalcino. Thanks for coming onto the podcast. See you in Montalcino.
Thank you. I'm waiting for you whenever you want.
Great. Thanks.
Bye.
This podcast has been brought to you by Native Grape Odyssey, discovering the true essence of high-quality wine from Europe. Find out more on nativegrapeodyssey.eu. Enjoy. It's from Europe.
Follow Italian Wine Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.